The HSE says it will resume hospital and other clinical services affected by the COVID-19 pandemic in three phases between now and December. The details are set out in an HSE plan called A Safe Return to the Health Services. The plan covers cancer care, planned operations and outpatient appointments. We can talk now to the HSE's Chief Operations Officer, Anne O'Connor. A very good afternoon to you, Anne O'Connor. Thanks for taking our call this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Three different aspects to this. Perhaps we can take them each in turn. Beginning with cancer, I suppose, which would be a matter of great concern to many around the country who are facing a cancer diagnosis. How severely has cancer care and particularly screening services been affected by the pandemic?
Brian, just before I get into cancer, maybe just to say that the document actually covers all of our services. So all of our community services, mental health, disability, etc., as well as the hospital services that you've referenced. But in terms of cancer services, what was different in this surge since Christmas was that cancer services actually stayed operating, unlike in the first surge where we stopped a lot more activity. Having said that, even though they kept working, they have been severely impacted because people have not, so our urgent cases continued. People with time-dependent surgeries, people who had started treatment. However, we know that there are many people out there whose treatments, who maybe started off being less urgent, have not been seen in as timely a way as they might otherwise have been seen. And that's, of course, a concern. But our services have operated and we're now, over the coming months, going to scale up the services to see people in a more timely way.
Is it the case that the number of cancers diagnosed since the start of the pandemic has gone down significantly? Have cancers been missed?
No, I think that in terms of cancer services, we know that, you know, we have many people who've continued to be seen by our services and our rapid access clinics, which would be a key pathway of referral for GPs who have concerns about people. Those pathways have all stayed working and we have been able to diagnose. I think in terms of the impact of this pandemic on people's diagnosis, be it from cancer or anything else, only time will tell in a sense. But our cancer services have continued to be very busy. We obviously have other activities that would relate to cancer. So, for example, some of our endoscopy programs, they have also been impacted where people go for other tests that may then determine that they have cancer. And certainly the activity in those services have also been impacted. I think across the board, Brian, it's fair to say that our services have been hugely impacted by the most recent surge and indeed the previous surges. We had got back to a level of activity after last summer and had managed to have some impact in terms of waiting lists. But unfortunately, in January and February, we saw that turnaround and our waiting lists have grown again, but we have continued to see people who have the most urgent need.
You're hoping to fully resume outpatient appointments between July and September, but if I'm correct, 30% of those consultations will still be online or over the phone. Remote consultations obviously have limitations. Should patients be concerned?
Not at all. No, we have during COVID developed a number of new ways of working that we would want to hold on to regardless of COVID. And some of those relate to more virtual working with people. So a lot of outpatient activity actually lends itself to virtual work very well. It prevents people from having to come into our acute hospitals and allows us to deliver care in a very different way. So we intend to keep that going and to save then our outpatient activity for people who really need to be seen in person. I think for us, as part of the developments during COVID and indeed our winter plan and service plan, we're very much focused on seeing people more at home, in the community, in primary care settings, and virtual work allows us to do more of that. So it's actually a very good thing. We've developed new technologies and new ways of working.
And who decides which consultations would be in person and which remote?
That'll be the clinical team. So the clinical team will determine who are most appropriate to be seen virtually. There are some people where that will never work, depending on what their conditions are. But I know that some people who attend services find it very useful to check in remotely. So if it's just a regular check-in with people to determine how someone's getting on, a query around medication, whatever, that's very easy to do virtually. But clearly there are some specialties where people need to physically either, you know, touch people or be close to people to determine how they are. So the clinical team looking after the patients will make those decisions, and many clinical teams will opt for it in the first instance where it works. At the minute, we have to be very mindful of, you know, the really important need for us to maintain a safe environment for patients coming into our services. We still have infection. COVID hasn't gone away. And of course, our concern today, Brian, is that any change in the numbers in terms of COVID cases will impact on our ability to bring back services. Well, that's something that we all need to be very mindful of.
That's exactly what I wanted to pick up on you you with, because you're saying, for example, planned operations you hope to fully restore between October and December. But that, I presume, will depend on reduced numbers in hospitals being treated for COVID. So where do the COVID hospital numbers need to be to deliver on these commitments?
They need to come down more than they have, Brian. And I think that within the document that you're referencing, we've made a lot of mention of the COVID numbers having an impact on this. You know, from the last surge that a lot of our hospital capacity was tied up in COVID work. So if the numbers turn, if we see more admissions, we currently still have over 350 people with COVID in our hospitals and still have 76 this morning in our critical care units. And that's capacity that we can't use for other procedures and for other people. Now, it's much better than it was. It is positive, but we know just how the relationship between the number of cases that are in the community, how that translates into more admissions into hospital, more admissions into ICU, and then we have to start scaling back on planned elective activity. Our priority will always be to look after the sickest people first, but there are procedures that will be cancelled if we need that hospital capacity for people who have COVID.
And just finally, you're expecting that absenteeism will decrease. But what might be the impact of annual leave that's been carried over as a result of the pandemic? Is that going to have an impact on staff availability and in consequence services?
Absolutely, yeah. So we had very significant absenteeism by virtue of staff being out because they were COVID positive or a close contact. That has improved a lot. We're down to under 900 people across our whole system now. But we have a lot of staff who haven't taken a break since the beginning of this pandemic. And it's important that they get to take a break. We want them to have a break. And we have to manage that over the summer months in terms of people getting that much needed rest. So that will impact, and we have to manage our services and our rosters accordingly. But clearly, as we roll out initiatives, so rolling out the vaccination programme, rolling out other initiatives, will require staff as well. So at the minute, we are in a fine balancing act. The big worry for us will be if more staff have to be out of work because the COVID numbers turn. But at the minute, we are planning on the basis of the plan that we've put out, the safe return to health services. And we hope that, you know, if things remain positive, that we will have sufficient staff to be able to scale up gradually between now and Christmas, as you said, over the three phases.
Anne O'Connor from the HSE, thank you very much for talking to us.